WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
It's Boots to Asses time.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archives. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. That music means one thing, y'all. We are jigging in our seats because it is St. Patrick's Day, if you celebrate it. So happy St. Patty's Day. Hope wherever you are, you're having a good time. And if you're drinking, please drive safely or get a DD, because we don't want anything to happen to anybody tonight. Please drink responsibly. There we go. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live at our alert work. Wild Talk Radio. At Rack Radio Show. At Lindsay's work on the WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive. Interact with us throughout the evening.
So, we have things to talk about. We have news. We have notes. We have NXT. And we're going to be doing a tier list later in the show where we're going to be talking all about the Undertaker's WrestleMania matches. Just to be clear, we are ranking them for how we like them, not on quality, although quality may have some of the weighting.
I mean quality. That is what liking them is, quality.
Yes, but not like the wrestling quality, like breaking it down, like move by move and saying, well, you know, this is better than this because he did like a suplex. You know, we're not going to be rating them by that.
Not by moves, but we are giving them star ratings.
Yes, because that was easier than, you know, the other system. Anyway, I say we don't waste any time, and we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at youtube.com/MBG1211. For anybody that is wondering that missed the Raw post show, we are not going to be discussing Scott Hall on this show. We talked about him on Monday night, so if you'd like to hear our thoughts and feelings and opinions on that, then please listen to the Raw post show after this show so you can hear that. We did it at the end of the show, so but we love you, Scott. We miss you. So with that, it's kind of been It's been a weird news week. Otherwise, I said we talk about the other big story, and let's just open with it. The Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So, unfortunately, Big E suffered a broken neck on SmackDown.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
This was purely accidental. Nobody's really sure what... I mean, we know what the cause was. Rich Holland did a move, and sadly, E's neck got caught.
So he did the over and ahead belly-to-belly suplex, and E landed straight down.
Yeah.
There's talk he was too low and lifting him up, or because he's used to throwing smaller guys, so he's like, go low, and I don't know. I'm not the professional wrestler. I don't know, like, where the best spot is to grip somebody for it. Could not tell you. But that's sort of what people are saying is he may have went down too low and Big E didn't rotate fully. It's...
Whatever happened, it didn't work.
Yeah, so...
And so, unfortunately, E has suffered a broken C1 and C6, or fractured C1 and C6.
Correct.
But, I'm sorry.
Correct.
And luckily, he has no spinal damage.
Yeah, there's no spinal damage. He is so lucky.
And there is, he has full use of his extremities. He can walk. He can move his arms. He's okay.
He posted a video today where he was walking down the streets, getting some exercise.
He's in very, very good spirits, which you would expect that from E. He was posting from the hospital as everything was sort of happening around him. The very, very lucky thing is he will not require surgery, which is fantastic news for him. That will speed up the recovery process immensely. The only question is how he heals, because depending on how this all shakes out, he may not be able to wrestle again, but he may be able to wrestle again. Nobody's really sure right now. It all depends on time.
Yeah, so there's one doctor who was talking about how that type of injury on the C1 sometimes doesn't heal straight. And if it doesn't heal straight, then he can't wrestle again. But if it does, he's fine. It's all about percentages and depending how it fractured and all that stuff. That's where it stands. So there's a chance he may never wrestle again, and can't wrestle again, then that sucks for him, and he's had a fantastic career. He was just WWE champion. I don't think he would have any regrets, but from all accounts, no one is really talking about how he will not wrestle again. There's no official reports, no nothing, everyone believing 3, 6, 7, 8, whatever month, how long ever it takes, he'll probably be back in the ring.
Yeah. But he's in very, very good spirits. I think it's a low chance. It just, like Rock said, it just depends on how it heals. So, but I'm sure they are keeping an eye on that. And I'm sure he's trying to do everything he can to make sure that it does heal correctly. So all of the love and respect in the world to Big E. There's been an outpouring of support and it will continue to pour out. He's providing regular updates. So follow him on Twitter and Instagram because he's posting out wonderful videos talking about, you know, like today he's walking around, you know, his neighborhood in his neck brace with his chest hairs out, because he can. It's a lovely day where he lives. So he was like, I'm going for a walk.
So it's the second person I've heard that call it the chest hair taco meat. I don't know why.
First?
PJ.
Oh.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, when he said the taco meats are out, I was like, your titties are out?
No, they're talking about the chest hair.
See, his titties were out, so I thought he was talking about his pecs.
No, chest hair.
It was close.
Yeah.
But yeah, so get well soon, Big E. We're all rooting for you.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully he recovers and gets back in the ring healthy. But as we keep saying, take as long as you need to recover, because the neck is nothing to fuck with.
Mm-mm. No.
And
no.
The one good thing for him is he has people who can sort of reach out and guide him along the way. You've had DDPs talked about, hey, people have come to me right after Tommaso came to me. Right before he made his return, and I kind of helped him along. And you have Tommaso, who's gone through neck stuff, and Austin's gone through stuff. TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd's gone through stuff with the neck. So it's like there are resources out there for it to help guide him through the journey of neck recovery and what he should expect, what he should be doing, and stuff like that. So unfortunately, it's like there's all these people who've gone through neck stuff, but fortunately they're available to him as a guide, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That's the upside of knowing people in the business who can sort of push you in the right direction.
Yep. So moving on from there, Lita will be the next, speaking of Broken X.
Yeah.
Lita will be the next guest on the Broken Skull Sessions on March 25th, so check that out. That should be really good.
I'm glad you picked up on that. That's the one name I left out for that reason.
Yeah. So, moving on, Charmel has been announced to be the next person inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, so congratulations to her.
Congrats.
We're just going to leave it there.
Congrats. I don't understand it, but there are many, many, many choices they make for the Hall of Fame that I go, huh? Queen Charmel, you know, Booker's wife. And okay. Wasn't she... Hold on.
She was a Nitro girl too, wasn't she?
Yeah. Wasn't her name Paisley, I think it was?
I think it was Paisley, yeah.
Yeah. Paisley. That's her name. I mean, good on her.
Good on her. As long as she's thrilled, that's all that matters.
Exactly. All hail Queen Charmel.
Moving on from that, WWE announced their newest bunch of recruits for the Performance Center. So I'm just going to read through the names. And we're going to discuss. So the first one is Teresa Schuessler, who debuted on NXT 2.0 as Fallon Henley. I think she's with Fake AMW. And is a 24-year-old Tampa, Florida native with 5 years of experience under her belt competing in the independent circuit as under the name Tesha Price.
Okay.
Kayla Inlay has already begun to make a name for herself on NXT 2.0 and NXT Level Up. A former collegiate dancer and cheerleader, Inlay was trained by former WWE superstar Tyler Breeze at his training school, Flatbacks, not after. Okay. Anyway, she was trained by Tyler Breeze, so ding. Joseph Sculthorpe. That's a name.
Hey, yeah. Oh, look what team he was on.
All right. Was an NCAA All-Conference offensive lineman at NC State before signing with the Atlanta Falcons as an undrafted free agent. Good call leaving. Anyway, originally from Hampstead, North Carolina, Sculthorpe is a high school state heavyweight wrestling champion. Maddie Kinsley. A 6-time state champion in vault, having trained in competitive gymnastics for 11 years. She also competed on the independent wrestling scene as Nikita Knight.
Okay.
Calix Hampton is a 22-year-old former athlete from the University of Oregon, having competed on the school's acrobatics and tumbling team, earning NCATA Individual Event National Championship honors. And let's see. Mitchell Lavallee. Hopefully I said that right. I'm sorry if I didn't. Has made a name for himself on the independent circuit under the moniker Mother Lover Jake Tucker. That's a name.
That's a
good name.
Not a name you can use on WWE, but it's a good name.
I don't know.
Mother Lover Jake Tucker?
It has a really good cadence to it.
It does, but Mother Lover probably will not go over in PG WWE.
Okay, we're going to talk about whether WWE is actually PG anymore here in a minute. Because, yeah, I have opinions. Anyway, trained by the likes of WWE Hall of Famer Kane, Natalya, Tyson Kidd, and Dr. Tom Pritchard, Lavallee won the 2014 WWE Show Us Your Superstar contest when he was 19, making a series of videos at the WWE Performance Center before appearing on the SummerSlam pre-show panel.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay, I don't remember him, but cool.
Bianca Carelli, the daughter of WWE superstar Santino Marella, comes to the Performance Center after earning her bachelor's degree in biology from Western University. Carelli has an extensive training in MMA fighting with a focus on judo, jiu-jitsu, and boxing. So yeah, she's going to be awesome. Cole McKinney from Charleston, West Virginia, has been honing his craft for over a year and a half already after foregoing wrestling offers from multiple DI universities to pursue his passion of professional wrestling, going by the ring name Cole Carter on the Independents. David Boston from Wilmington, North Carolina, has been a folk-style wrestler for 16 years while simultaneously training as a powerlifter. I need everybody to understand this dude is 23. He started when he was 7.
He also looks like Randy Orton.
He looks like Randy Orton's kid.
He could be Randy Orton's kid. He is 175% Randy Orton's kid. Hold on.
We don't know that for a fact. But yeah, he looks like a very, very young Randy Orton.
He really, really does. Give me one moment for everybody to see. Visual aid. That's Randall. It's Randy Orton right there in the flesh. Tattoos and all. It's Randy Orton.
So, I mean, it's a good thing because they'll have, you know, somebody that looks like Randy for whenever Randy decides he's done. They'll have another one. They can be like, here you go. Nope. No difference.
No difference whatsoever. We found ourselves a new Randy Orton.
They just cloned him.
I mean, I wouldn't blame them. Put it past them.
Anyway, 6'4" Gabe Y heads to Florida from Corvallis, Oregon, following his tenure as a DI rugby player at Lindenwood University. The 206-pound Army reservist was projected to be drafted into the Professional Rugby League.
Okay.
All right. Carla Gonzalez from Pasadena, Texas, is known as Roxy after graduating from Booker T's Reality of Wrestling School as the youngest ROW Diamonds champion.
She is also the former Ring of Honor Women's World Champion.
Yep. I'm going to say this wrong, and I'm very, very, very sorry. Nnamdi Ogayo?
Nnamdi Ogayo? Ogayo? Something like that?
I think that's how you say that. I'm so sorry if I said it wrong. No disrespect. Of Beltsville, Maryland, stands 6'3" and weighs 245 pounds after playing 4 years on the defensive line for Washington State University. Edwin Grande was a standout offensive lineman at the University of Idaho and Monterey Peninsula College. The Oakland, California native played for the Houston Blues football team during the 2020 Spring League. Lots of ex-football players. Very interesting. Amelia Herr is an 18-year-old criminal justice major out of Westchester, PA. So wait, she's 18 years old.
Yeah.
How can you be a criminal justice major at 18?
I mean, that could be just her major. Doesn't mean she's, you know.
Is she actively in college right
now? I think she may be someone who is under the NIL program, maybe.
Could be. It's entirely possible. But stick with the criminal justice thing. It's always good to have a backup plan. With 2 years of taekwondo training under her belt, she also competed on the independents as Notorious Mimi. So there you go, chat. The list of recruits. Sounds like a good bunch.
Got a couple good ladies in there that have some really good experience and been trained by some great people. And yeah. We're going to see some bright futures, hopefully, out of some of them. They have a lot of talent. That is for sure.
That is for sure, yeah. But with that, I say we talk about NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Okay, I just want to ask this question, because I need to know.
Yes.
And this is coming from someone that thoroughly enjoys trashy romance. I watch Bridgerton. It's coming back, by the way. I'm so excited. Anyway, when the hell did NXT get so trashy? When did that happen?
September.
I don't even think it happened in September. Like, it's just gotten really...
They're trying to hit a certain demo. What do you want?
But it's so trashy. I'm sorry. It is. Like, at least to me, it is. It's like, I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, what the hell am I looking at? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love romantic storylines, and I love drama, and I love that kind of stuff, but this is not the kind of drama that I like. Like, this was just, like, sitting there going, what? I mean, there was good stuff on the show, but it's just like, you know, Indian friends tongue-fucking in the middle of the ring for the sake of tongue-fucking in the middle of the ring. I don't know.
I will get to that. It opened up with Miz TV. Yes, Miz TV. The cast were Ziggler and Bobby Roode. Ziggler, they showed some footage of Bron Breakker losing the title and then, you know, being sent home because he was a little out of control. And Dolph said he's a fighting champion. And when he said those words, out come LA Knight. And he came out looking like a star and wanting to challenge to become the next NXT champion. Dolph's like, I only fight superstars. So Knight dove into his bag of tricks and sort of poked at the pair a little bit more, saying he's not just a superstar, he's a megastar. And this is LA Knight show, and then they set the main event for the night, because Miz has that power.
Miz was really, really, really good in this. Like, fantastically good. He was out there working that crowd. And I loved every second of it, because you could tell he was enjoying it. He's like, ooh, this is a good crowd. I'm digging this.
It was. So we had a contendership spot for the North American Championship ladder match at Stand and Deliver. You had Santos Escobar and Cameron Grimes. Santos Escobar headed to Stand and Deliver by beating Cameron Grimes.
This was a good match. Yeah. This was a very good match. Cameron was disappointed afterwards. He talked about how he's going to be watching the biggest show of the year from home. And he talked about the last thing he told his dad before his dad passed away was, you know, that he had been signed to NXT and he feels slightly disappointed in himself. So Cameron's going to have to do a regroup.
Yep. When they started talking, I thought this was a match to get into the ladder match. It was not. It was just Kushida and A-Kid. With A-Kid getting the win.
Go, A-Kid.
A-Kid was the former Heritage Cup winner in NXT UK. So A-Kid will now fight Grayson Waller next week in a qualifier match. So Mackenzie was backstage. He was talking to Santos and everything like that. And he was saying he's the greatest luchador of all time. And then Mark Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic. They all started chattering back and forth. And they started making fun of Dominic. And then Dominic challenged one of them to step up and fight, which would be Raul Mendoza, so that's coming up later in the show.
I was a little confused why they were there, but I was like, okay, all right, Mendoza versus Dominic? Or one of the boys versus Dominic? I was like, okay, all right, let's see where this goes.
It was going to be Tiffany Strand taking on Sarray, but Sarray was attacked, so it was the schoolgirl version of Sarray who got beat by Tiffany Strand.
Tiffany just, like, went to town on Sarray. It was like, damn.
She stopped her from transforming.
She's a transformer now?
A little bit. So Tommaso Ciampa came out, and he started talking about, you know, gratitude and how he's been doing this for 17 years. He always wanted to find a place that accepted him for who he was. He said he came to NXT, became the guy. He said he had a chance to run with the ball for the biggest company in the world, WWE and NXT. He talked about how everything was in DIY, the Glorious Bombs, tag team champions. He was Blackheart. He was the greatest NXT champion of all time. He said he loved the do-it-yourself story, but he never had to do it by himself because he always had the crowd behind him. Whether they cheered him or whether they even booed him and talked about being booed to the ring when he fought Johnny Gargano many, many years ago. He said ups and downs, setback surgeries, and transitions from black and gold to 2.0, but he was one of the constants and the crowd was wanting him to not go anywhere. He doesn't know where he's going or what will be his fairy tale ending, because he was hoping it would become NXT champion one more time, but he lost last week. The crowd wanted one more match. He said he's here to say thank you before it's too late, which means, you know, he's on his way up to the main roster. Before he could thank everyone, Tony D'Angelo came in with a crowbar. He was out talking about respect for Ciampa, but wants to fight him at Stand and Deliver. And once he shook his hand, D'Angelo attacked and left him lame.
I like the promo.
Very good promo.
Excellent promo. And you got the message loud and clear. It's the last sort of bastion of NXT Originals is leaving.
Yeah.
Our last real tie to the old black and gold
is out the door. After Stand and Deliver.
And it's a sad, sad day that Tommaso Ciampa is leaving NXT, but it's also a good day because that means he's going on hopefully to bigger and better things on the main roster. And I'm excited for that and for him. But yeah, this was a fantastic promo by him. Like the stuff with D'Angelo at the end where D'Angelo's like, look, if you're going to have a last match, I want it. But then, you know, just because you got to heels do heel things, you know, you leave him laying.
Well, yeah, it's kind of what you do. Indy Hartwell took on Persia Parada. They both came out to the same entrance song together.
Which was awkward. The whole thing was awkward.
It was so weird. Indy got the win. Dexter was there. Duke was there. They all then, hey, I'm going to kiss you, and then I'm going to kiss you, and then hand placements and
ripped clothing and thumbs up. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Indy and Dexter together. I want more Indy and Dexter interactions. Like, I really kind of hate that they did the wedding storyline and then they just dropped it. Obviously because Candace and Johnny left, right? But I hate that, like, they just split Indy and Dexter and that was kind of it. And we don't really get to see them together much. The fact that they're bringing them back together, I like that because I like the dynamic that they have together. It's really, really nice. Because she sort of like is the disarming factor to his character. Even though we all know he's a psychopath, she's the good disarming factor for him.
Yeah.
I also like Persia with Duke. I just don't need them tongue fucking in the middle of the ring. Like, although they didn't really even tongue fuck. Like, when it was the Dexter Indy stuff, like, it was like the tease to the kiss, and then the tease to the wedding, and there was the build to something. This is just...
Dexter and Indy were PG 13. This is more TV 14.
I mean, it's fine, I guess, but I just, I was just sitting here watching. And I was like, when did NXT get this trashy?
Dominic Mysterio beat Raul Mendoza. Quick little match.
This was good.
It was fine.
What I didn't understand was why fake AMW was there.
Well, because they made comments about a truck, but Elektra thought it was about her, and I don't know. They're all feuding.
It was very, it was a little confusing. It's like, wait, the Mysterios are there, which makes sense.
But no, that's the least making sense, because the Mysterios are on Raw.
Well, I know that, but it's like, okay, all right, at least they set it up that the Mysterios are going to have a match, which is, okay, I'm going to be completely honest. It kind of felt like Rey was dropping Dominic off at, like, school.
Yes.
But anyway. Well,
that feels like it all the time.
Huh?
That feels like it all the time.
Yeah, but this especially because it's NXT, it's the developmental brand, and there's Dominic. So it's like, okay, it feels like Ray's like, okay, all right, I've done all I can. I'm going to drop you off in the on the developmental brand. Bye, push. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. It's so mean to say, but that's what it felt like. Which Dominic doesn't really need to go to NXT at this point. I think he's good. I don't know if there's much else they can do for him. Because he's had his trial by fire, basically, so.
I mean, he could use time in NXT, but yeah.
He could use time. He could use the ring time, probably, but. Like, I think anything that he needs to learn, he's learned on the road, or he's going to learn on the road. Yep. And that's just it. Because he came in at the during the COVID era, so it's like...
He's finally now getting on the road.
Yeah, he's finally now getting on the road and stuff like that. So, but yeah, this was just like a weird little thing, because it's like the Mysterios are there, Legato's there, fake AMW's there. Like, it's just, what is going on right now? I don't know.
So the Creed brothers came to the ring and they were wanting their attackers to show up because they were attacked in the parking lot last week and lost their opportunity to tag titles. MSK came out. They were thinking, oh, that's the ones who did it. They're wearing their NWO gear, the Patriot.
Very nice.
And no, they didn't do it, but they offered the Creed the first shot to the titles. Bivens was talking about, well, we already beat you guys. We should get the title match. Imperium comes out and basically it sets up a triple threat match for Stand and Deliver.
Malcolm Bivens is gold, because then there's, like, a spot backstage afterwards where, like, it's Malcolm Bivens and Grizzled Young Veterans.
Yep.
And, I'm sorry, a tag team I don't remember the name of, because they're new to me.
Enuf and Blade.
And they're all five standing there going back and forth. And then, who walked up? Was it the Creed Brothers that walked up?
Yeah.
Like, Malcolm Bivens is just gold.
Yeah, he is.
He's so good.
He's really good. Your main event of the show was for the NXT Championship, Dolph Ziggler, LA Knight. Pretty good match. We saw Dolph Ziggler retain. Bron Breakker showed up.
He had a mad,
laid out a challenge for Stand and Deliver. That was your main event. Good main event.
Very good main event. I enjoyed this thoroughly. Although I will confess that because of all the stuff that was going on the show that I kind of forgot that this was the main event, especially when the Mysterios showed up, because I was like, wait, I was sitting here watching Dominic's match, and I was like, this isn't the main event. What is the main event of this show?
But to be fair, we say that a lot about Raw.
We say that a lot about Raw, but it's like, it's NXT, it's a 2-hour show. They set it up in the beginning where it's going to be Dolph versus LA Knight, and it's like...
A lot of things happened,
but it's like, I'm sitting here, I was like, what is the main event of the show? Because here's the Mysterios, and it's Rey and Dominic, and it's like, these are your top guys. And then I sat here for a second, I was like, oh, right, Dolph.
Okay. So,
and that shouldn't be a thing.
No.
Like, I shouldn't go, what is your main event? And I'm like, oh, right, the champion. Right.
Well, it's hard to remember the Dolph's your champion. It's kind of, it's new.
And it's not a shot at Dolph at all. It's just, it's like, there was just a lot happening in my mind in terms of the hierarchy of things. It's like, the Mysterios should be on last. Why are they here?
Okay. So there's one other thing we didn't talk about on the show because I wanted to save it to the end. So it was Jade doing Home Alone. Record Jade doing Home Alone with the NXT women's tag team titles and the women's title. She stole them. Raquel was injured last week, so she's out a few weeks. So Cora Jade's out on her own. So the best way to get at Toxic Attraction is by taking the one thing they desire the most, and it's their belts. So she had them planted at different spots in the building. One was in a dumpster. One was in, I forget where the other where one
was. It was like a supply sort of like closet.
Yeah,
cage
the cage
thing.
Yeah, it was the cage one. So she trapped JC in the cage. Gigi in the dumpster, and then she had Mandy's out in the parking lot. And while Mandy was prepared for it, Mandy left her laying and spray painted her back. I liked this whole, like, cat and mouse game. I thought it was good.
This was good. This was a clever use of Cora Jade and Toxic Attraction. I still really don't like them.
It gave Cora Jade some personality.
It kind of sort of broke Cora Jade out of her sort of...
Mold
and made her less wallflowerish to me. Because she's cute, she's perky, she's a skater chick, but that's all we really knew about her. And, like, this is now, they're giving her a little bit more of an edge. She got clever, because it's like, hey, you beat up my partner, you hurt my partner, you cost us a chance at the Dusty Cup. That's not cool. So you know what? I'm going to get you back, and I'm going to take the one thing that matters to you, and I'm going to take your titles, and then I'm going to humiliate you one by one by one. And that was really cool and really clever. You don't get to see that a lot in terms of wrestling in NXT. So I enjoyed this. I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
And I liked how, like, you had Gigi and you had JC. Like, JC's, like, smacking the title because it's hanging up in the air. And she's like, is it booby trapped? Is it booby trapped? I don't think it's booby trapped. She's like, okay, all right, I'm good. And she grabs it. She pulls it down. And then she gets trapped in there and Cora locks it tight. And then Gigi has to climb in the dumpster to get the title. Because it's all the way on the back of the dumpster, she can't reach it. So she climbs into the dumpster, and then she gets trapped in the dumpster because Cora lowers a forklift down on top of it and closes the lid.
Yeah.
So Gigi's trapped in there. Mm. I still don't know how they got out. And then Mandy was sitting in the car waiting. Which, okay, I need WWE to stop threatening to destroy really expensive cars because that Land Rover is not a cheap car. I don't know whose car that actually is, but that's not a cheap car. So can we, like, not have people spray paint nice things? Thanks.
Right. So that was NXT.
So that was NXT. It was a good show.
Like,
a drug in spots for me. But, like, again, it was just the content level for me.
Understandable.
But with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening.
Sounds good.
So when we come back... we are going to be doing a tier list. That's right. We are going to be rating The Undertaker's WrestleMania matches, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
main event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights,
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. My mouth does not want to cooperate with me. And, you know, if you want to follow the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you. Anyway, we can get you. And with that, I give you Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, Coy Dow, ladies and gentlemen. I give you Coy Dow. Months of progress at the gym. I could undo it all in 48 seconds, and it is a giant tub of Nutella and a spoon. That's the picture. And he replies, update, unfortunately, I've passed the wisdom check and will not be doing it. He then tweets, I hate that being a public figure means I have to set a good example. So if I eat a huge tub of Nutella at 2 a.m., I have to lie about it. Gabagool goes, pathetic. And he's like, you listen here. Dan's Gaming, what is the best method of counting cows? Using a calculator. Dr. Lupo, Dan, stop.
That was awful. So bad.
Zach Aguilar wanted to give a huge thanks to Jonathan over at Razer for sending me a Genshin mouse and mouse mat. This was sent a while ago, but I just recently had free time to check my mailbox. These will go perfectly with my new Blade 15 I just picked up. Coy Dow, have you played Genshin? Zach Aguilar, Alfredo? Coy, at least I voice a character in the game. Zach, you voice a character? Lol, that's cool. I voice two. Coy, wind block. And it shows a picture of the block button red because he blocks Zach.
Nice.
And then he goes, then he tweets it out, excited to announce I voice Ether now. And he has Zach's name scratched out on a picture of Ether. This is Coy Dow. And so, yay, Y Chang goes, so is Zach voicing Albedo now? Or Coy responds, who? Zach responds, wait, why did Coy block me? And Coy goes, I can't see this. What's it say?
Nice.
I love their friendship so much. It is the perfect level of petty. It's amazing. You can tell they're true friends, sadly. Because there's just pettiness.
Yeah.
Everywhere. It's beautiful.
There is.
I'm done.
Yeah. Let's see. Where shall we begin? All right. I'm playing audio from a clip because I forget the context to it because it's been a few minutes. So here we go.
Run, Paul, run.
You sound so thick. You're gonna kill us.
You missed every shot.
He blacked out both my legs.
You missed every shot on my leg, Paul.
You hit me so bad. You missed both of my legs. I had two heavy bleeds.
So that's Darkness 429, Action Jackson, and Genticles. So Paul responds to that clip, I think my subconscious allowed me to shoot Jen and not you at the Darkness. Jen, your subconscious is a jerk, LOL. Speaking of friendship. Let's see. Someone named Paul Johnson just posted this somewhere else. Can anyone confirm authenticity or more like a rubber clip? So it's a truck. It's a WWE production truck from back in the 90s. Stuck in mud. Lex Luger goes, reminds me of my career trajectory in WWF after the 93 SummerSlam DQ finish.
Oh, no.
Marcus Bagwell, let me tell you about this one time I was the main event on Raw.
Damn.
Caleb Braxton, met a cute boy last night. He's 25. Told him I'd be 31 in a couple months. He replied by saying he's never been with an older woman before. Well, I'm officially closing up shop.
Embrace it, Kayla. Embrace it.
Jason Baker, some kid told me House of 1000 Corpses was their favorite classic horror movie last week. I've been looking into retirement communities ever since. Veer Mahan, sometimes IKEA lets me sit here for hours. So he's a shirt that matches a chair. Adam Pierce, you need to leave IKEA to get to Raw.
You know, I saw that picture. Honestly, they need to bring Raw to him. He looks good in that picture. He could be a model.
Adam Pierce, guys, I have no idea how to make myself playable in WWE 2K22. I'm still trying to beat Mike Tyson and punch out. Scott Sanford, hey, Easy Pass, you guys are funny. Your cameras missed my tag on $1.90 toll four times, so you send me a bill for $207, $50 violations on each. You should do stand-up with that type of comedy. And finally, Tyler Breeze. Relax at WWE Games and post the pictures. Commissioner Gold, do not put Tyler Breeze in a match this week. Fulfilled. Adam Pierce, it is official?
That's cold, man. That's cold.
Because it's like one of those random things in the GMO, and it's like, oh, don't put so-and-so in a match. Okay. Just like Adam Pierce time again. It's like, it is official, because that's his thing now. Anyway, that would be what they call Tweet of the Week.
So, all right, let's rate Undertaker WrestleMania matches, because WrestleMania is rapidly approaching, guys, and Undertaker will be the marquee Hall of Fame entrance, so why not look at some of his favorite, or some of our favorite, and some of everybody else's favorite, and maybe some of his favorite too, we'll have to see. But at least some favorite matches from WrestleMania's past with The Undertaker, because he has some doozies.
We have all 27 matches he's ever done, because we were ambitious and we're just going to go through them all. Hopefully this works. Hey, it does. Okay, cool. Because we had to set up a new scene and everything, so it worked. All right, so let's get started on some of these matches. We're rating them 1 to 5 stars, so yep, it's gonna be a situation of let's figure this out.
All right, so some of these I have seen, some of these I have seen in part, and some of these I have not seen at all. So I'm gonna rely on you to rate the ones that I haven't seen because I feel that's only fair.
All right, I'm gonna get a couple out of the way to start. WrestleMania 9, Undertaker vs. Giant Gonzalez, 1 star.
I don't want to be mean, but yeah.
That's not being mean. That's being truthful. That one's being truthful. We're just gonna get that one out of the way to start. That one was a stinker. It just was a stinker.
The setup was really cool. Like it was the Coliseum, and they were at Caesar's, and it was in Vegas, and he had the chariot with the bird and the whole thing. Like, it was the atmosphere was really cool.
That's great. That's great.
The match was awful.
That's great. Let's go 10 years later. Undertaker, Nathan Jones versus A-Train and Big Show. That's another 1 star.
They tried.
The fact that they had to take Nathan Jones out of the match day one, the night of, because he was not ready to be in that match. And two, he almost lost, like, they could have, like, killed the streak there just because they could have, randomly. That was just terrible.
Actually, I think somebody pointed out that technically the Undertaker streak supposedly broke in the Giant Gonzalez match, because at one point, doesn't he leave and he has to come back? And it would have been a count out.
If he was counted out, but he was never counted out. So, but yeah, those are just, figured we get those two out of the way. I'm trying to think of any others we could just stick down there, but I mean, yeah, where is it? We're just going to throw this one down there too. WrestleMania 15, we're just going to plop the Hell in a Cell down there and just sort of leave it.
The theatrics were something.
They tried.
You know, okay, all right, I'm going to be honest. I've seen this one. It's not that bad.
No, Well, yes, it is bad. It was technically a bad match.
I would give it at least 2.
You want to put in a 2? We can put in a 2.
I feel like it deserves at least a 2 because it was a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania. The match was not the greatest thing they've ever done. But the only thing that people remember from the match is the visual of Boss Man afterwards hanging from the cell.
You know how hard it was to find a picture without him hanging? It was very difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, that's the only thing people remember about that match is the fact that, like, the Undertaker, that the Brood hung the Boss Man afterwards. Like, and I use, you know, hung in-game, basically, in quotations. But, like, that's the only thing that people remember about that match. So, but I would argue at least 2 stars, because it really wasn't that bad. But this is, like, prime time, attitude era
it
glory right here.
It really wasn't good. I just recently watched it again. It wasn't that good.
Wasn't wonderful. It wasn't a 5-star classic, but, you know, he did good.
Okay. Now that we got those out of the way, what are some you want to just sort of we can just chuck a few on. Is there anything on the list that you go, heh?
WrestleMania 25, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, that's a 5-star. I will die on this hill.
That is a complete 125% 5-star. Same with, I would say, 26.
I don't know.
Really?
I waffle on 26 so hard. And here's why. Because 25 was the better match, but 26 was the better build. That's the thing. Like, that whole program is like, the build to 25 was like, I don't know. And then they went out there and they just stole the show, right? As they want to do.
25 also had the good and evil entrances.
Yeah, they had the good entrances, they had everything. Like, the setup for it was perfect because it was, like, the first time that Taker and Shawn had fought in, like, what, 10 years?
So they came off those 2 back-to-back Rumble things to set up this, yeah.
So it was a really, really good setup, but the build afterwards where Shawn comes back to Taker and he's like, no, we're not done. I can't stand the fact that I didn't beat you, so I want to fight you again, and I'm going to bring Hunter with me. And we're going to do the thing. And
he didn't have Hunter with him, did he?
No, remember he had Hunter with him because Hunter was like, because that's how they involved Hunter in it, was it was because it was kind of the battle for Shawn's love. That was like the setup for it. And no, then.
No, you
then
have they, you have the stories.
No. Let me finish. Because Hunter was helping Shawn and Shawn put up his career. And then that's what they used for the setup for 27.
Oh, there were 27. 28.
No, 27. Because they fought at 27 and 28.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because Hunter, that was like the whole stipulation for Hunter challenging Taker at 27 was, you fucking retired Shawn, you asshole. And then the 28 was the battle for Shawn's love.
Right.
Straight up.
Yeah.
So, I would...
I still say it's a 5.
I mean, I'll give it a 5. Just because the whole thing is, yeah, it's a 5.
So on that argument, we should just put, where is it? Battle for Shawn Love is 5-2.
Yeah, 28, the end of an era, that's a 5.
That goes above 26.
Yeah, because that was a spectacle. That was something truly to behold. Now, I'm going to say 27 was a 4. And the only reason I say 27 is a 4 is I saw it live.
I was also sort of thinking it's... to me, it's like a 3.5, so I give it a 4.
Like, I think out of the 4 matches of that series, it's the weakest.
Oh, yeah.
Entrances were badass, though.
Oh, yeah. So, in my head, I was judging that match with 17, and I think 17's better than 27.
Oh, 17, to me, is a 5-star.
Okay.
That was, 17, to me, was a fantastic match.
Because I was like a 4.5 on that one.
Because they got violent in that.
Yeah.
And it was at the Astrodome, and it was like, dang. At least to me, another 5-star, 2 5-stars. WrestleMania 14 and WrestleMania 20. Undertaker versus Kane. I say 14's higher than 20.
14's higher than 20. Yes.
14 because that was the first time they ever faced each other, and that was like the conclusion, or the conclusion of 1-year-long build. And the start of the story between the two. And that's just like where they just beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes.
I think 20 is a 4.
I'll give you a 4, but like 20 was cool just because that was when Undertaker revived the gimmick and they had Paul Bearer and you just had Kane's fantastic acting job where he's like, you're not real. You're dead. I killed you. You're not here. No. No. Like, the whole time.
Yeah. It's like, that's like a 4.2, 4.3. It's not a 5, but it's like, it's a high 4.
Yeah, it's a high 4.
But it's like, it's close. It's 1A, 1, it's truly close.
But 14 is higher than 20.
Yeah. So that's where we have to dip. We have to just, like, separate it a little bit.
And then, let's talk about it. The last match, the last ride, the last outlaw, the last everything. The Boneyard match between Undertaker and AJ Styles at WrestleMania 36. I wouldn't call this a match.
No, no. It's not. It's a fight. It's a cinematic fight.
I could give it a 5-star just because of what it was.
The meaning behind it, the finale of it all.
Like, it was a really nice, if that's how his career is going to end, that was a really good send-off.
Yeah.
Because, to me, you got to see The Undertaker in all of his glory one last time.
Yeah.
And they had all the smoke and mirrors in the world, and they were able to edit it and reshoot it and do all the things, and I know it was a really bad time for him, but, like, just the way that they did the overall presentation was like, there he is. There's my Undertaker. I've missed you so much. Welcome back. And then he gets on his bike and he just rides off into the night, which is like the perfect conclusion to everything. Is he just like, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
And we never see him again.
Yeah.
Till he retired.
All right. So the guy gets one that away. I'm going to get some out of the way.
Okay.
Undertaker, Jimmy Snuka is a 1.5, 2, so we'll put it in a 2.
I don't think I've ever seen that one in its entirety, so I'll go with you on that.
Undertaker, King Kong Bundy is a 2, because that was when they then melted the urn and made a Kama Mustafa's chain.
I've never seen that one.
The match was just okay, that's why it's a 2. Diesel and Taker in Diesel's final run was a 3 at WrestleMania 12. That had a nice build to it, and it worked. It sort of felt like the swan song for Diesel, but Diesel wrestled one more match against Shawn afterwards. Undertaker Sid from 13 for the title. Because Taker won the title, it bumps it at a,
I give it at least a 3.
It bumps it up from a 2 to a 3 because it was a title win. The match was okay, but because he won the title there, that one sort of goes there. Undertaker Jake, I've never seen that one, so... I'm hemming between a 2 and a 3. I'm going to give it a high 2. Because it no one talks about it. It's like, it's one of those matches where it was fine, but it's not like a match where, oh, hey, out of all the Undertaker's great WrestleMania moments, good and bad, it doesn't lean good or doesn't lean bad, so no one talks about it. Like, people talk about WrestleMania 19 and how bad it was. People remember how bad the Hell in a Cell thing was, right?
Yeah, it's not memorable. It's lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, so it's like it's an average match. That's 2 stars. I think that eliminates some of them.
All right, so let's get into the nitty gritty. WrestleMania 18, Undertaker versus Ric Flair.
This had a good personal build. This was a violent fight. They busted Flair open, which is not a surprise. Flair was trying to gain his confidence back fighting Taker,
and it worked.
It worked. He got his groove back. I think 3.
I would give it a 3, yeah. I mean, this was on the back half of Rick's career. He retired soon after this, so. But this was a good match.
Yeah, this was right before his evolution run for a little bit. It's a solid 3. It got him, he was the owner of Raw at this point, or owner of WWE. This was right before the brand draft and where he became the owner into the evolution run, yeah.
Yeah. So moving on from that, The Undertaker versus Randy Orton, WrestleMania 21.
I'm thinking 3. 2 or 3. It was good, not great. I think they had better matches.
Yeah, I would say they had a better series either before or after. I don't remember if it continued after or not.
I think it wound up at SummerSlam or in the summer with his father and all that other. I think this was just the start of it, not the conclusion of it.
Yeah, I would say that they had the better, like, the conclusion of the feud where when Bob Orton got involved and you had all the stuff with the coffins and the dummies and them in the caskets and the fire and the whole thing, like, when When they did all the Taker magics with this,
it got better. That was in the summer, so this wouldn't have been the conclusion. This was been the start.
Yeah. So, but this was solid.
Solid three. Low end three.
All right. Undertaker versus Mark Henry.
Casket match, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this was a casket match.
Two.
Yeah, I don't remember this being one of his better ones. Like, it was okay, but again, it's kind of like, it falls into the same trap of Jake, where it's just, it's not memorable. Unfortunately, it's kind of middle of the road. It was just there.
It was one of the weaker matches on that show.
I think it got thrown together at the last minute, too. I think it was one, like, there wasn't really any build to it, and there wasn't any, like, follow-up to it from what I remember, because I don't even remember what got them there.
I don't remember the build much.
So that tells you everything you need to know right there.
And I remember a lot of pointless WWF stuff.
He does.
I can tell you all the shit, the stupid shit that happened on a random episode of Raw. This shit, I don't remember.
Yeah, so give it a solid two. Mm-hmm. All right, Undertaker versus Batista.
Just rewatched this a few days ago. It's good. It's not a five.
I'd say a three or a four.
Yeah, it's in between a three and a four. All right, looking at what we got left, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can put this as a four. Based on what's left, this would be a four.
Yeah, this is a four.
Because it's trying to judge everything off of everything else and sort of line it up. Based on what's left, that's a solid four. Okay.
All right.
And it was a title win, and yeah, that gives it a point. It adds it from, it takes it from probably a three to a four because of the title.
Yeah. Undertaker versus Edge.
I would say this is a high four.
This is a high four.
It's not a five.
It's not a five. Like, this is connected to a larger build. I think this is another one where they had better matches in the series, because I think this is, like, classic, at least for me, the sticking point for The Undertaker in my mind is, like, 2008 to 2010, when he had the feud, when he was in this, like, sort of, like, golden age, again, of his career, where he had all these really fantastic feuds, and one of them was where he worked with Edge and Vicky Guerrero and the Edgeheads and that whole SmackDown where he was going against, like, you know, Vicky as the authority figure and everything like that. Like, that feud, for whatever reason, sticks hard in my brain, because I think it was just really so intriguing to me.
Right.
And
this is another, this one that ended at SummerSlam.
Yeah, so this, I think, was the kickoff to it, and you had Taker really being Taker, and you had, like they had The Undertaker get banished. Mm-hmm. Like, they suspended The Undertaker, which I don't think has ever happened, but they're like, yeah, no, we're going to suspend him for, like, 30 days, and then Edge is like, hey, honey, guess what I did? I reinstated The Undertaker. And then Taker comes back and murders everybody. Like, when he and Vicky were on the outs. It was really good. Like, the whole thing was really good. But, yeah, I would say the match is a solid four.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Undertaker versus CM Punk, WrestleMania 29.
Difficult build because of the pallbearer. I think it's a three. Maybe a four.
I think it gets overshadowed by what happened at 30. Like, the match was, the build was for this was really well done, all things considered. It was very personal. They made it work because obviously the feud was supposed to be Undertaker and Paul Bearer versus CM Punk and Paul Heyman. And you were going to have the promo battles between Paul Heyman and Paul Bearer, and unfortunately that just wasn't meant to be. So they did the best they could. They made it work. I think this match is more memorable for the feud versus the actual match itself. So to me, I would say it's between a three and a four, because there's nothing in that match that especially, like, sticks out in my brain.
I give it a three.
Okay.
You want to save that one to the end?
No, let's do it now.
Okay.
The Thing. Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 30. Okay. I do not mean any disrespect whatsoever, alright? I just need everybody to understand that I'm saying this unbiased. The match was a two. The match to this was really not that great, because Taker got concussed 5 minutes into this match.
Yeah, he knocked himself out.
And the poor guy didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground for a good portion of this match. If you go back and you watch it, like, he's trying really, really hard, but the more I see this match, the more I am convinced it should have been stopped. Like, the fact that they didn't stop it is really kind of horrifying. And I get that they probably didn't know, but the streak was breaking anyway. So, you know, what a better way to break the streak than, like, oh, hey, The Undertaker's concussed. We have to stop the match.
So the quote that came out today was basically they wanted to put him in the Hall of Fame after this match because they figured he was done.
And he's like, no, I can't remember the match. I'm going to keep going. Like, God bless Mark. And then he's like, yeah, I did some more stuff after that. Nothing was really ever, you know, the right time. And then I wrestled AJ and I was good. It's like, goddamn, Mark. What the hell, dude? So, alright. WrestleMania 31. Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. I'm going to say the match was a 3. The build was better than the match.
Because speaking of people getting hurt, Bray hurt himself.
Bray broke his foot.
Like the day of.
Or twisted his ankle or did something
twisted
the day
his,
of.
Twisted his ankle day of.
And so he was doing the best he could with it. Taker had had his confidence shaken. So he was working with that. And I think Bray helped Taker kind of get his confidence back in terms of everything because he was still shaken up for WrestleMania 30. But the build to this, the build was better than match, but the build was somewhat lacking on this too because I think, at least for me personally, I wanted Undertaker to be more involved because at the time, this was a really highly anticipated feud because Bray was super hot and everybody wanted to see what he could do with Taker. Now we got more stuff later on because in the summer, Taker came back and worked with him again, which I think speaks volumes to it. You know, they let Bray walk off with the Undertaker, which nobody ever fucking talks about. But Bray Wyatt did kidnap the Undertaker. He's the only person to ever do that. Just FYI. And they had the whole feud leading into Taker's 25th anniversary in WWE at Survivor Series, which I got to see. But yeah, the match itself was a 3. There's a lot of these that they like kicked off at WrestleMania and then like the conclusion was obviously better because it's the conclusion. It's kind of interesting how many of his feuds start at WrestleMania.
Like they conclude at WrestleMania and then they re-pick up in the summer because he has foils for the months or he takes time off and then he comes back.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
So up next, we have WrestleMania 32, The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon, a.k.a. the night Shane McMahon died for our sins.
4.
Yeah. This is a 4. This was good. It deserves a 4 just for the fact that Shane McMahon flung his body off the top of the cell onto an unannounced table.
Okay.
Like that level of commitment, that's a 4. Undertaker versus Roman Reigns, WrestleMania 33.
You really want to know where I want to put this?
I kind of want to make it a 3.
A 3? I had it at a 1.
Oh, I was being nice. This was not great.
It's a 1. He shouldn't have been in the ring. I can give you a 2 if you really want to be nice. But
no, it's a 1. It's not good.
It's the highest 1 you can get, but it was a 1.
Yeah, he'll even admit that.
He shouldn't have been in the ring.
Yeah, he said as much. He wasn't conditioned for it. He wasn't in shape. He had a really bad showing. And yeah, I think this was all, because this was coming off of, like, Shane and, you know, was he done with Shane? And it was a really awkward period where it's like every year is, well, is this going to be The Undertaker's last match? Nobody knows. And it was just strange because he would come back and he would come back and he would come back and he would always think, oh, well, that was a really good ending or that was a nice conclusion. And like he wrestled Roman and he was like, he didn't have a good match with Roman. It just was not impressive. They tried, like they really, really tried. I think he really wanted to do that for Roman and he wanted to go out on his back and he did go out on his back because technically in his mind he retired but then he came back 2 more times 3 more times and yeah because he didn't like the way it finished so yeah this is a high 1 low 2 and last but certainly not least speaking of his returns The Undertaker versus John Cena where John Cena challenged The Undertaker and heckled The Undertaker and called him out and demanded he show up at WrestleMania because John Cena needed to be on WrestleMania. And The Undertaker obliged John Cena. I wouldn't call this a match. I would call this kind of a whooping. It was like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I would say this is a generous 3.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody, because Taker came back and he was in shape and he was looking good. He'd had the hip surgery, because that was the other thing that hurt him in the Roman match, was he desperately needed to have knee and hip surgery and he just hadn't had it done. And when he came back for Cena, he'd had the hip surgery done. And you could just tell he was moving better. He was walking better. He wasn't in pain. He was good to go. And I think he wanted to go longer than 5 minutes. They weren't going to let him. Because I think that was always the one feud match we never really got, was Taker versus Cena. We got it in like the very forefront of Cena's career. And then they never really did a lot with each other after that because they were on opposite shows. But this was good. But yeah, that's our tier list of the Undertaker's WrestleMania matches. Do you agree with what we picked? Would you move stuff around? Tell us, you know, on the Twitters. At Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward. Or, you know, if you're watching this, are we putting this out on YouTube?
Maybe. I guess.
If we put it out on YouTube, tell us in the comments.
We can, maybe.
Why not? Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Okay. YouTube, hi, like, subscribe, ring the bell.
Ding! And with that, I say we're done.
We are, in fact. That's not the one I'm going to play. I wanted to play this one. Anyway. Yes, we're done. Let's do it for another
week. Wow, that is like a drastic switch.
I know. That was the song we went to break with. I hit the wrong button. Because I'm trying to save the picture. Anyway, that'll do it for another edition of The Rack Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of SleepGreaterSleepGreaterLive.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com. We're also doing the Fantasy Draft on Saturday. So tune in for that. Should be fun. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Rack. I think we're doing Stand and Deliver the Conversation a little bit next week on the show. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. There will be Fortnite with friends, most likely this Saturday. Lindsay will probably be streaming Fortnite this weekend, probably, hopefully, maybe Sunday. But she'll tell you about her other streams here in a second. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle on the middle of the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSUCK or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the $4.99 item shop Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Buy your battle passes. Buy all the things with the creator codes. Do the thing. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/RackRadioShow. We have daily content appearing at 5 p.m. Eastern every day leading up to WrestleMania with WrestleMania Classics. With random shorts and all that fun stuff. There's a bunch of content coming. YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. There's archives of the streams we've done to create some wrestlers, including Paimon and from Genshin. All available at YouTube.com/RackRadioShow.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can check out my YouTube channel, LinsWard.RackRadioShow.com, or you can search LinsWard on YouTube and you will find my channel. I am a Genshin Impact streamer. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard. I also do occasionally stream Fortnite. I do have a review on my YouTube for WWE 2K22 if you want to check that out. I put a lot of work into it, so I would appreciate it if you would. In terms of the streams, I will probably be streaming tomorrow morning because they are doing a 2.6 update announcement for Genshin Impact. So if you want to come hang out with me tomorrow morning at about 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're more than welcome. I'm happy to like hang out and chit chat with you. Hopefully I don't get in trouble from Twitch. And then I will be streaming Saturday. It'll be Genshin Impact. And then depending on what's happening on Sunday, it will either be Genshin or it will be Fortnite. I don't know which. It all depends on Epic Games and what they want to do. So you want to find out what I'm doing, follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.